I always love these days. It's crazy around here. It's all different because we mess everybody up with our different times. And I think that was great. It's amazing how many people actually made it. I haven't asked the ushers yet to tell me how many people came in at 9 o'clock instead of 8:30, or we'll find out who comes in at 11 o'clock instead of 10:30. But it was pretty good. That's what overflow is all about, I think. Everybody's been pretty good about that so far. What I love about Resurrection Day, besides what we're celebrating, is the fact that the Spirit of God is moving. I know He is. He's moving mightily right here, right now. Whenever you talk about Jesus Christ, God's Spirit is moving. People are here who often don't come here. There are a lot of different people in this room today. Some of you have come because you just love the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially on a day like this, you want to celebrate His resurrection. Some of you, you know the Lord, you've been in the Lord a long time, but things just, you know, we can kind of take a left turn at different times in our lives, and you need a refresher or you need a little encouragement today. Some of you are here and probably are wondering, what on earth am I doing in this place? They invited me. They promised me lunch afterward. I guess I can put up with this for an hour. Will it only be an hour? Yes, it will. It'll only be an hour. And I hope you enjoy your lunch. But more than that, I want you to understand something. Whoever it was who invited you, it could have been your spouse who says, you never come to church. Will you come with me? Or it could have been your parents. It could have been a friend of yours. Whoever it is, they brought you here today because they love you, because they know the Lord and they know you don't, and they want you to hear the gospel. And that's what we want to do today. We want to make sure that you know the gospel and that you have an opportunity to make this decision. The most important decision for the rest of your life happens when you make a decision about Jesus Christ. But we have some special guests today, people who are not normally with us. We have some young ones, not those who think you're young. You're really pretty old. But I mean our children from kindergarten up through sixth grade are with us. And so give them a round of applause. We're very thankful that you can be in here with us today. Jesus has a lot of important things to say about the young ones. He says, let the little children come to me. Don't prevent them. Jesus had a lot of special things to say about children, a lot of things that we adults who think we know so much, a lot of things that we could stand to learn from our children. Jesus said that we should have hearts as children, that we should come to Him with the faith like a child. What is that? That's the willingness to believe what we're told when we're told the truth and to follow it. What happens when we get to be not even my age, but I mean the age of most of us in here, we think we know so much and we think we're so together. But we're really just lying to ourselves as well as the people around us, because inside we're churning. There's something going on. And we don't want to respond when we hear the truth because we're afraid that we're going to be admitting that we have a problem. Well, welcome to the world. We all have problems. We all have problems, and the problem that we all have is sin. Sin is what has affected the entire world. We all come into this world S-I-N positive. And there is no cure for S-I-N except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for all people. By placing your faith in Him, the one who paid the price for your sins, you can know that you have everlasting life. That's why we're here today. And what difference? Some of you are asking, what difference does all this stuff make anyhow? Let's face it, when you look at the things going on in the world today, you look at Ukraine, look at the problems in Ukraine, look at the number of people that have died already, Ukrainians as well as Russians. You know, I mean, or look at some of the things, just all the things going on. Look at the violence in our society, the number of deaths that we see all the time, whether it be through natural disasters, the typhoons going on in India over these last few weeks, even a 70-car pileup on the turnpike a couple of weeks ago. What happens to all these people? Well, here's a key. Death is 100% in every generation. The things that are going on in this world will never increase death. Death is 100%. All the time. The question is where people go when they die. What's the point of Easter anyhow? Who invented this? And why do we need another church service? I don't think we need another church service. I think the last thing we need is more religion. It was religion that killed Jesus in the first place. It was religion that put Him on the cross. But what we have the opportunity to do is to recognize that Easter, Resurrection Day, is about something very different than a lot of us think. Now, on behalf of all the children in here, I think we need to recognize something very important. Yes, Easter is very different than what a lot of us think it is. A lot of us very sophisticated Christians who think we know everything about Easter. But I believe that in the kingdom there is chocolate. I'm sure that there are jelly beans and even, weird as they are, Peeps. There's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as we keep it all in balance. In balance. I mean, as long as we understand what the resurrection is really all about. Before we go any further, let's just understand something. It's funny that we would even have to say this, but I think I do. Jesus Christ, there are many people, I'm not joking, there are many people, when they hear Jesus Christ, they think, well, that's his first and his last name. Jesus is an English word that comes, you don't care about it all, but comes out of the Greek and then ultimately from Hebrew. His name was Yeshua, Joshua. It was a very common name. They might have called him Mary, maybe his mom, Mary, called him Josh. Very common name back in those days. Christ is not a name. It's his title. Again, it's the English, it comes through the Greek, down into Hebrew, Mashiach, Messiah. We've all heard the term, the Messiah. The world is waiting for the Messiah. Why does the world need a Messiah? The Messiah is someone who saves. Saves from what? Saves from hell. The Messiah was sent by God, the anointed one, sent by God to save us from hell. How? Because sin is what puts us there. He's Yeshua HaMashiach. He's Jesus the Christ. That's who he is, the Messiah, the one who was sent to pay the price for the sins of all the world. Some of you, I realize, are thinking, you know, by now I think some of you people need to have your heads examined. I know that. I used to feel that way. I actually did. I'll tell you a little bit about my story in a bit, but I was one of those guys who thought you're all just plain nuts. I was an atheist. I was out there first 25 years of my life. I didn't understand what this was all about. But I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Let's understand, here we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why the resurrection? Because 3 days and three nights earlier, Jesus had died on that cross. He had been tortured, he'd been beaten, he'd been spat upon, he'd been brutalized, and then he was nailed to this Roman cross. Religion didn't understand why they were doing it. They just believed they hated him and they had to get rid of him. But he was sent by the Father for one purpose. Yes, he was a great teacher. He was a miracle worker. He was a wonderful healer. We revere him in so many ways. And he still does those things. But the primary reason why the Father sent the Son, fully God and fully man, Jesus the God-man, the reason he was sent, one purpose, to go to the cross on a specific day and to pay the price for the sins of all mankind. There's a cross that stands in the middle of the timeline of history. Everybody before the cross was looking forward. There had to be a Savior. Everybody on this side of the cross gets to look back and realize he came, the cross. The cross is the marking point in history. We even recognize it in our dating. It's 2022 AD, the year of our Lord, meaning since the cross, Jesus was sent to pay the price for our sins, and clearly he did it because he rose again from the dead. We read this, let me read this to you, in the Gospel of John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran, she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, that's John, came to John, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter, therefore, went out, and the other disciple, John, were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, but John outran Peter and came to the tomb first. I love that. John wants to say, I was the youngest, I got there first. And stooping down and looking in, John saw the linen cloths that had been wrapping Jesus. He saw the cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the same cloths lying there, and the head that had been around the wrappings around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up together in a place by themselves. But the other disciple, John, who came to the tomb first, also went in, he saw, and he believed. For as yet they didn't know the scripture. They didn't know. They didn't believe there would be an Easter someday. They didn't believe that there would be a resurrection. They didn't know the scripture that said he had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And now when she said this, she turned and she saw Jesus standing there, but didn't know that it was him. And Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned, she said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "my teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." And of course, that's what Mary did. You know, we could go through all kinds of things this morning, but I won't. All kinds of stories that people have trying to explain away the resurrection. All kinds of ideas. These ideas that they accidentally went to the wrong tomb. Oops, wrong tomb. It was empty and the whole world changed as a result of it. Or that his body was stolen. The swoon theory that he just passed out after being tortured on the cross. And that he revived the cool of the tomb in the middle of death. Sure. Or that it was a mass hallucination. And that all these people just believed that he was alive, and that set the entire world believing that Jesus actually had risen from the dead. You know how people are. Yeah, I know how people are. I'm 68 years old. I have a bald spot where the ponytail used to be. I'm an old hippie. Don't tell me about hallucinations. I know hallucinations, and that is not what happened. Yeah, I didn't used to be a pastor. I didn't believe any of this stuff. I thought those of you in this place who love the Lord Jesus Christ are absolutely out of your ever-loving minds. You're lunatics. That's what I thought. I thought you ought to have your head examined because no one does this. Well, I thought that they made it all up, that it was all a lie, and that these disciples, these apostles, they all died for this lie. Well, guess what? Matthew was skinned alive for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was boiled in oil for the testimony of Jesus Christ because he said, "I've seen him, he's alive." James was run through with swords. Every single one of the apostles, Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. You can go down the list, every single one of these guys for a lie. Oh, people will live for a lie, but no one dies for a lie. I can assure you of that. No hallucination, no swoon theory. You know, I've been preaching about Jesus for a number of years now. But as I alluded earlier, I spent the first 25 years of my life stumbling around in the darkness. I really did. When I came to Jesus at the age of 25, almost 26, I was so full of mental and emotional pain from everything I had done to my head and to my body over those years. The drugs, the alcohol, the immorality, all the things that I had done, thinking I was really so smart. Someone began to share Jesus with me. And you know, I was listening. That's all I was doing. And then I started to realize, you know, as I'm listening to all this stuff, I'm realizing that everybody around me is saying his name. I keep hearing Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting how much we have his name in our language, in our culture, actually all around the world. Jesus Christ, we say it all the time. Jesus Christ, he's the one. If you would place your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who paid for your sins, if you'll come to him for new life, he offers you the end of all that grief and sorrow because of your sin, the end of that guilt, and that shame that you bear. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't know Jesus, you do. You try to act like you got it together, that you've got this guilt and shame thing stuffed down. This emptiness that's inside you, you think you've got that figured out. You're lying to others, but you can't lie to yourself. What he does, he offers an end to all that ugliness we bring on ourselves and all of the people around us because of our stubbornness about this central issue, that Jesus would go to the cross for you. Yeah, for the whole world, we talk about, but for you. We lie to ourselves about that stuff. I don't need that. Maybe someday I'll think about that. No, no, no. You need to think about that. We're a mixed bunch, just the way it always is in any church service, but especially on a day like this. Some of you may be thinking, I'm talking to people who were like me, atheists, druggies. But, you know, there are many people in this country, many people in this room probably right now, raised in a church environment. You say, well, I was raised Catholic, I was raised Presbyterian, I was a Lutheran, I was a Methodist. So, you know, we pick a label. Look, you can put any label you want on yourself. If you've never come to the point in your life where you have said, I need Jesus Christ, I want to be saved from my sin, then you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter what label you put on yourself. You're not a Christian unless you're born again. And that's what he offers you today. You know, while I was out there giving everybody a hard time, and I was the kind of guy who would say, what's all this stuff about Jesus Christ? I used to love to argue with people. I mean, I know that comes as a surprise that I could be obnoxious. But I was at times. And I would argue. I'd say, well, Jesus Christ, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference between Jesus Christ and Hare Krishna or Confucius or Buddha or Baha'u'llah or, you know, Muhammad? I mean, these guys were all peddling the same stuff, weren't they? Well, on one level, yeah. I mean, they're all offering some moral code. But the difference is that Jesus Christ was the only one who ever paid the price for sin. Everybody else said, you have to do this in order to please God. Jesus is the only one who ever said, you can't please God. I do that. You place your faith in me. That was the difference. Yeah, I gave everybody a hard time. But I kept hearing his name, Jesus Christ. I said to a friend of mine once, some of you have met him, Jim, the dude is his name. I said, dude, why is it that everybody's saying that? Jesus Christ. You know, I saw a student drop his books in a puddle. Jesus Christ. Some of you are upset that I'm swearing right now, right? You're upset about that, aren't you? Why is that? Why do people say that?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, look, why don't they say, oh, Buddha? Why don't they do that? I mean, even the Jewish people don't say Abraham and Isaac. They don't say that. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the name of the only one, the only name by which men and women, boys and girls can be saved. And the devil knows that. And the devil is doing everything he can so that every day, hundreds of millions of times a day, people will use the name of Jesus as a swear word, in order to diminish it and make it the most worthless set of words in our language. And people don't even know what's coming out of their mouth. They don't realize as they swear against the one who gave them the breath to say it, they don't realize the contempt that they're holding the God of the universe in. Yeah, it started to blow my mind when I finally came to Christ and realized what that is. Why do we believe Satan, the father of lies? Why do we do that? We stumble along because we've not given our lives to Jesus Christ. If only people knew. Oh, there's a lot of things I could tell you, but I'll tell you this. Jesus came to save us. Now look, in this room right now are many of us who are solid believers. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got to tell you, we have a major problem. You know what our major problem is, brothers and sisters, those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ? We forgot a major principle. And the major principle we forgot is that God loves us. We've gotten so caught up sometimes in all the rules of being a Christian that we've become religious and forgotten what it means to live by faith by the power of His Spirit and to remember the love of God. He loves us. He loves you. No matter what I ever did, no matter what you've ever done, God loved us all, the whole world so much. No matter what our sin was, there is no sin so great that his sacrifice hasn't covered it. He saved us. Saved us from what? Saved us from a place called hell. Saved us from a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of outer darkness. It's like a black hole of torment. You're scaring my kids. Your kids understand. Maybe it's the parents who need to be scared. You know, children, I got to tell you something. Jesus loves you. This I know. And he understands because the Bible says so. You can read it in the Psalms, you can read it in Isaiah, you can read it in Jeremiah, and you can read it in the Gospels. It's the sound of children giving praise to God, and God loves that. It's the parents who got stuffy, and you have an opportunity today to let your parents know just how much God loves you. Remind your parents of that. Remind your parents of that. It's important that we remember the love of God. Yeah, he saved us from, but for what? Well, he saved us so that we don't have to go there, only if you place your faith in him. But to what? To what end? We say heaven, and we think heaven's a place where we fly around on clouds. No, no, no. A kingdom of light. A kingdom where there's no more any death. A kingdom where there's no longer any war. A kingdom where there's no longer any soldiers. A kingdom where there's no crime. There are no policemen. There are no lawyers. There are no judges. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no doctors. A kingdom where the food is good all the time. And there are no diet plans. A kingdom of light, love, where you get to live forever. I'll tell you, there was a time if someone had brought me here and I was sitting out there, I'd be thinking, you have to be kidding me. These people are all brainwashed. They're all brainwashed. And that guy with the tie, he's a cult leader. Well, I don't normally wear one. No, I know that. I know what I would have said. And some of you are thinking that right now. You're thinking, they are brainwashed. They are brainwashed. You know what? If you knew me back then, I'm saying these things, instead of asking someone up to come up here and give you their testimony, I'm telling you something about me. From the time I was 15, I was in 10th grade, until I was 25, 10 years. I was almost 26. Maybe there were 25 to 30 days in there that I wasn't high on something. I don't say that to brag. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. But I was out there. I couldn't have cared less. I was a foul-mouthed man, obnoxious, full of dirty jokes. I was not pleasant to be around. Brainwashed? Yeah, you bet I was brainwashed. And the only difference between me and you who think we're brainwashed is that we all decided who we wanted to wash our brains. Mine were some filthy, bad old brains, and they needed a scrubbing, and so do you. We need to realize who we really are and what kind of need we're really in, how cynical we can be sometimes. And you know, if you don't get anything right in this life, get this right. Get the gospel right. Gospel means good news. Get this right. That God loved the world so much, he sent his son to pay the price for your sins, so that if you will place your faith in him, you can know that you have everlasting life. But you need to make that decision, and I can tell you, stop putting it off. You know, for a longest time, and I think there's a lot of us in here right now, when we think of God, we think of him as this big force in the sky. We think of him almost like a monster sometimes. The great thou shalt not. You better do this and you better do that. We don't see him again as the God of love who gave everything for us. You're left with the choice of your life. Yes, Jesus Christ came to pay the price for sins. And in the process, he's the one who ends addictions. He's the one with the power to remove the stain and the shame of guilt and emptiness on your life. You're left with the decision of your life. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Some of you, and may I say, and I don't say it to offend you, some of you will walk right out those doors today having never made a decision about Jesus Christ, except to say, yeah, whatever. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be a fool. You say, I'm not a fool. I think it's true, but I'll make the decision some other time. That's just as foolish. Because by walking out those doors without acting on the information you know to be true, you've placed your eternity in jeopardy. It's not what you think about who he is. It's what you do with him that'll make the decision today. You don't owe it to me. You don't owe it to anybody in here. But you owe it to yourself to make that decision. God sent his son for you. There's a vacuum inside your soul, and you are stuffing it. There's a vacuum inside your soul that's shaped like the cross, and you are stuffing that vacuum with your career, with all the things you've accomplished, with all the things that you own, or you're stuffing it with all the dumb stuff that I did, the drugs, the booze, all that stuff. Whatever you stuff it with never gets you an inch closer to heaven. Look, the world's gone insane. There's no question about that. Why follow the world? Every saint has a past. We all have a story. And every sinner has a future. What are you going to do about yours? Look, we're going to give you a chance this morning to make your decision. In a moment, the worship team's going to begin to play this song. And as they do, listen to the words. Listen to the things that are sung. Are you hurting? Are you broken within? Are you overwhelmed by your sin? Jesus is calling you. He's calling you to come to him. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward and receive Christ today. We're not doing this to make you a show, to make a show out of you. That's not the point. But each one of us has to come to a point in our life where we make that decision, and this is the way to do it. And so as we play this song, for some of you, you were invited by someone. That person is going to say to you, I will go up with you. Let's go. They'll walk you up here. Because it's weird. I know, it's strange. It feels strange to come up forward in front of hundreds of people. But it's good to do. It's good to do to show that you're leaving your past behind and you're walking into now this new life. You might be in the middle of a row somewhere. Actually, turn to one another right now and say, I will move for you. I'm serious, because Christians, you need to be praying and you need to be engaged in this, because there are people here today who've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. And there are people here today who think they're Christians. They're misbelievers. They came in because of a label over them, but they never had received Jesus as their Savior before. Today, they're going to make their decision about eternity. And so as we sing this song, you respond. The Spirit of God is drawing you now. I know He is, and I'm about to pray for you. Each one of us is going to be praying for you. But you be bold. Jesus boldly went to the cross for you, boldly took your sin upon himself. Now we're asking you to boldly step forward and receive eternal life through your faith in Jesus Christ. We'll show you how. Father, thank you for each one who's here. Lord, we ask that you would move now, that you would draw those who you've appointed for eternal life this morning, that you would draw them to you. We thank you in advance for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. We all need a little breathing space. But you come forward. God is speaking to your heart. I know He is right now. You come forward. As we sing this song, you come forward right here.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide for was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
What's going on in a lot of people's hearts right now, in their minds, is, okay, I mean, I think I got that, but I gotta think about that. I'll make a decision about that someday, in the nicest way I know how. And it is the nicest way I know how, is this. Just stop. Stop that kind of thinking. It's called stinking thinking. It's wrong because you don't have control over 1 second of your life. It may sound like I'm selling fire insurance. That's because I am. Because if you died today resisting Jesus Christ, there's only one place for you. But he's calling you to make that decision now. Why do I need to come forward? Because you need to put your past behind you. That's what it means to come to Christ, to put your past behind, to put your sin behind you. We've all done it. Let's stop acting like we're better than anybody else. Put it behind you, and now come forward, Jesus Christ. You have a wife that's been praying for you for years and years. You have parents who've been praying for you. You have a husband. You have friends who've been praying for you. We saw it happen in the earlier service, a brother who gets saved. Look, it's time. Jesus is doing the work. Let him do it in you now. Come forward. I don't want to come up there. That's weird. It's embarrassing. Jesus was beaten, stripped, naked, and nailed to a cross in front of the whole world. Here you are, all dressed up, looking and smelling good. You can do this. Just come here. Understand, this is the truth. This is the day. It's the only time you have. Make that decision today. You come forward. And if someone brought you, they are going to ask you right now, I will go with you. I will go with you. Let's go. You come forward.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason.
Come on, come on up. Come on,
Jesus is
coming. Room over here. Come right on up here. Come on up.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Let this moment pass. Come on up. Come on up here. Don't let this moment pass. You have this moment. Stop pushing back. Stop thinking you got this all together. I can assure you, you do not. The most brilliant intellectuals in the world, many of them were once atheists who sought to disprove Christianity, and now they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you think you are? I don't mean to insult you, but you've got it wrong. Don't let the moment pass. You come forward now. Put behind all of your mistakes. Put behind you all the sin, all the shame, all the guilt, all the emptiness, all that pride. It just gets you into trouble. Make your decision today. And little children, listen to me. The Bible makes it clear that the little children will lead the parents. So this is your opportunity. If you want to trust Christ, or if you know your mom and dad aren't saved, it may be embarrassing, but you say, come on, let's go. You come on up. Let's sing this again, and you come up. Stop resisting. Come to Jesus today. You don't know it to me. You come on up. Yeah. Thanks, Wayne. I got this. You come on up. Come on.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Is the one who paid the price for your sins. Jesus is the one who gives new life. The whole world's talking about a great reset. This is God's great reset. This Lord saying new life. It's better than a revision. I'm not reviving you. I'm giving you a whole new start, and we all need that. You have one opportunity. It's this moment. Don't let it pass. We're going to sing the chorus. You come on up. Do it now.
Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on in, you guys.
Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You guys are all making a great decision today. You've made a decision that's going to change your life. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want to hear you repeat after me. And they want to hear you repeat after me. Most importantly, God knows your heart, but let them hear you. Follow me in prayer, okay? Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ for me. And I come to you for forgiveness.
I come to you for forgiveness.
Forgive me for all my sin.
Forgive me for all my sin.
Forgive me for pushing back against you.
Forgive me for pushing back against you.
Give me new life today.
Give me new life today.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Give me the promise of heaven.
Give me the promise of heaven.
I want to walk with you.
I want to walk with you.
I put my past behind me.
And I walk with you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the kingdom, you guys. Welcome to the kingdom. Hey, we're going to sing one last song, but if you guys want to go right out that way, we're going to give you a Bible. We're going to tell you a few things. Go straight out there. Oh, you can come too. It's okay. You can come. Come on, you guys. Go right up that way. One last song. Hey, happy Resurrection Day, everybody. God bless you.